produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Welcome back. We're so happy you've joined us for another episode, another broadcast of Gems for the Journey, Wisdom from the Word of God. And we're your hosts, Matt and Stephanie Garrity, and we are co-founders and pastors of Lehigh Valley Worship Center in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And we're also founders of River of Heaven Ministries, which we believe is one of the conduits that the Spirit of God is working through, flowing through powerfully, bringing revival, refreshing, renewal, restoration, healing, and new life in Christ, awakening, and thrusting people, communities, cities, and nations into the Lord's perfect will. We agree, decree, the kingdom of heaven comes on earth as it is in heaven, that the living water that flows from the Lord God Himself, the perfect pure river that flows from the throne room of heaven, will pour out through us, bringing life everywhere. And honey, I find that so profound that what we're going to be exploring today is actually talking about how that the Lord actually enthrones Himself upon our lives. He enthrones Himself upon the praises of His people. And out of that throne, out of where He's enthroned, comes life.
Amen. I'm so excited to talk about the new Gem for the Journey today, learning more about the River of God.
Amen. And so we've had such an awesome opportunity recently. We were with our friends on Box 2 Radio Network out of Kentucky. And, they own radio stations in the Kentucky and Indiana area. And it was just so neat to see what God is doing, you know, having different people working with other people in the body. And if there's one thing, at least one thing that this problem of the coronavirus has inspired, I believe that it's a greater working together of the body of Christ in unity. Amen. For we know that Psalm 133, verse 1 through 3 says, how beautiful, how pleasant, how wonderful it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil poured down on the head of Aaron, down the beard, all the way to the feet. It says it's like the dew upon Mount Hermon that falls on Zion. And later in verse 3, it says, there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. And so if we want to be churches that are full of the life of God, if we want to be churches that when people come in, they receive life, they receive resurrection, they receive impartation, then we need to first be churches who are in unity in the Spirit, unity in the Spirit of God. Because where there's unity, there the Lord commands the blessing. Amen? And that blessing is life. And so there's your freebie for today. That's not the topic for today. But God is bringing about more unity than ever before, I believe, by His Spirit working as the body of Christ works together during this pandemic, this coronavirus. And so what we've been talking about the last two episodes is this gem for the journey, this nugget of wisdom from the Word of God called the River of Life or the River of God. And we talked about how there's three main scriptures that we find this concept in. And so the first scripture was Genesis chapter 2. The second scripture, Ezekiel chapter 47. And in Genesis chapter 2, in the first broadcast, we talked about that God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And out of that garden flowed a river. And out of that river really broke out four headwaters. And there were four headwaters in the garden. And they each had names, respective names. The first river's name was Pishon, and that word means increase, if you look it up in a Hebrew word study. The second river's name was Gihon, or Giach. And if you look up in a Hebrew word study, that means to break forth or to burst forth. It also can mean new life issuing from the womb, because we all know that there's a breakthrough when a new life comes forth out of a womb. Amen. The third river is called the Hiddekel, or the Tigris, if you want to use the Greek word for that. And that means rapid, but it's a word picture. Hebrew is a pictorial language, and it's a word picture of arrow darting, swift and darting, something that's very swift and darting, something has purpose. And the fourth river we spoke about is the river Euphrates, and that, or the word in Hebrew is perath, and it means sweet or pleasant. It also means fruitfulness. Amen. And so then the second broadcast, we spoke about Ezekiel chapter 47, where we see that there is the angel of the Lord is leading the prophet, and he leads him and he shows him a temple. And the temple, out of the eastern part of the temple, flowing east, there came a stream of water, and then it began, you know, to get bigger and bigger, and the angel of the Lord continued to lead the prophet through the waters. First it was up to his ankle, then it was up to his knees, his waist, then his chest, and then it said it became so deep it was a river that one must swim to go across. Amen? And we talked about that, even as the scripture says, wherever that river went was life. Amen? Wherever the river of God went was life. And then there was interesting contrast we also talked about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, not only was there a garden in Eden, but the Bible says that we are God's garden. We are God's masterpiece. We are God's workmanship. Amen? Not only was there water that became a river going out toward the east in Ezekiel chapter 47, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, the Word of God says that we are God's temple, that we are temple where the Spirit of the Lord lives. Amen? There are principles throughout Scripture that God really shows the fulfillment of in the New Testament with His creation, with us. Amen? There was a Garden of Eden, and out of it flowed four things. Flowed increase, flowed breakthrough or new life, flowed purpose, and flowed fruitfulness. Out of God's garden, you and I, if you're a believer in Christ, should flow increase, should flow breakthrough or new life, purpose, and fruitfulness. Amen? Just like there was a temple where the river of God flowed out of it, there also that we are that temple, and that wherever the river of God that goes out from us, that issues out from us, goes forth, and everywhere the river goes, brings life. In Ezekiel chapter 47, the river went and it went into the Dead Sea where there was no life. And then all of a sudden there became life and things became alive. And there, where there was death and destruction, there was new life and there was, it was flourishing. And we talked about how as we as the temple of the Holy Spirit, when we go somewhere and we begin to pour out the river of God, we pray, we prophesy, we preach, we share God's word, we sing. Wherever that river goes, it brings life. Amen. And now today, we're going to talk about the river also issues from the throne of God, from the throne of God. Amen. And that's found in Revelation chapter 22. And so if you go to Revelation chapter 22, it says this, starting in verse 1.
And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there, they need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
Thank you, honey. And so, again, you know, we know in Revelation, this is the Apostle John receiving this revelation on the island of Patmos when he was in exile. It goes on in verse 6.
Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things."
And it goes on and on. It talks about the angel says, "Do not fall down and worship me, for I'm just a servant who's bringing you this revelation of the one who you truly worship, who is the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. So now we're going to see an interesting dynamic here. First, we saw that there was rivers that was flowing out of a garden, and we are also a garden. Then we saw that river was flowing out of a temple in Ezekiel 47, and we are also a temple, okay? And now we're seeing that the river really is coming from, the source of the river is the living water himself, which is Jesus Christ. The source of the river is from the very throne of all creation, from the very throne of God, the very throne of heaven, amen? And this is interesting, but this is actually the revelation the Lord gave to us regarding the name of our ministry, River of Heaven Ministries, that there is a river that flows down from the throne, and it brings freedom, it brings healing, it brings deliverance, and wherever that goes, it brings healing to the nations. Amen? And we know that there are many nations who are listening to this broadcast right now. And so we believe that as the word of God issues forth out of our mouth, as we pray, as we preach, as we prophesy, as we teach, that the Spirit of the living God, the river of God, is flowing out into the nations, bringing healing to the nations. And so the Lord God Almighty is seated upon the throne. There is the Son, Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father. And out from there flows a river of life. Everywhere that river goes brings life. Amen? But what's interesting is that there also is a throne in the church. And that throne, when we receive Jesus Christ, he actually enthrones himself upon our heart. And he not only enthrones himself upon our heart, where self used to rule and self used to reign, you were your own God in your own mindset, you could do whatever you wanted to, and something different then issued from that throne. Now, because we've received Christ and we allow him as the high priest to take up his ministry in the throne of our very being, in the throne of our heart, now there's a different river that issues forth. So where is that river coming from? It is Christ. It is the very source of that river. He is the living water. And as he is enthroned upon our heart, he begins to flow out of us as living water to other people. Out of us is the garden. Out of us is the temple. And then out of us as the throne, as the very place that Christ is able to seat himself, enthrone himself upon our life, and then begin to minister out of that. Hallelujah. Interestingly enough, part of our life is our praise and our worship. And the Word of God says this in Psalm chapter 22, verse 3.
But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel.
God enthrones himself upon the praises of Israel. Another translation says, but God, you are holy, enthroned upon the praises of your people. So we see that God is enthroned upon our life, but he's also what? He's enthroned upon our praise. That word in Hebrew is the word tehillah. It's one of the seven Hebrew words for praise, and it means the spontaneous song. It means the new song. This is the outflow of your adoration. This is the outflow of your worship. This is of your vehicle of praise. This is something that's never been sung before. It's a response to the goodness of God. It's a response to the fact that there is a holy God, and he is on his throne and in control no matter what situation, circumstances look like, and he is worthy of all of our praise. And when we praise him and we begin to just begin to worship him in the spirit, begin to pray in the spirit, begin to worship him in spirit and in truth, guess what? He enthrones himself specifically upon that praise, upon your spontaneous praise, upon the response of your heart to how good he is. And so again, everywhere where the garden is, there flowed a river. Everywhere where the temple was, there flowed a river. Everywhere where the throne of God is, there flows a river. So out of our heart, God is enthroned on our heart. He's enthroned in our lives, so there flows a river. And also our praise, when we begin to, as an extension of us, begin to honor the Lord. Holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy. God says, yep, I'm enthroning myself upon that praise. And again, then out of that praise is what? A river. And wherever we begin to praise the Lord, there issues life. There is increase that comes forth. There is purpose that comes forth. There is breakthrough that comes forth. There is fruitfulness that comes forth. And why? Because the river of God is flowing forth. And so let's go on a little bit further here in Revelation chapter 22, starting in verse 12.
And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely.
And so there's an understanding also that this is free. We didn't have to pay any price for this river of life. Not only are we able to pour it out once we've received it, but the price that was paid to receive it was not our own, but Jesus paid the price, for he is the living water. He paid the price, and as we receive him, we receive the living water free of charge, and then out of us as a vessel, as a conduit, flows that living water, flows that river of life, and wherever it goes, it brings life. As we respond to God, as we respond to the Lord that he is good, that there is no one good besides him, and we begin to sing things like, God, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. And then we sing that tehillah, the unrehearsed song, oh, you're just so good today, God. Lord, I see your goodness even in the area of the pandemic. I see your goodness today, Lord, in my family. I see your goodness today, Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy, you are worthy. When you begin to just sing the spontaneous song of the Lord, There is life coming forth. There is strength. There is fruitfulness. There is increase. There is breakthrough. Some may say, my breakthrough is in my praise. We like to say it this way. Praise is my weapon and worship is my warfare. Worship speaks of the posture of one's heart before the Lord, bowed and surrendered. Lord, I just surrender my life. But praise is the vehicle. Praise is the weapon. Praise is that area where God enthrones himself upon, and then out of that comes the strength of God. Out of that comes the might of God. Out of that comes the deliverance of the Lord. Amen? And the healing virtue of Christ and all these things. But where did it start? It started from the source himself, Jesus Christ, who is the living water. And as he is the living water flows through conduits, through us as his garden, through us as his temple, through us as a place that he is enthroned, there is a mighty river that is flowing forth, bringing life to everything that it comes in contact with. And so what I hear the Spirit of God saying today is that the Spirit and the bride say, come. There are many of you who are listening to this broadcast, I just sense in my spirit, that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not know him as your Lord and Savior. You may be in a country that does not allow these things. You may be in some dictatorship where there's not really freedom. But I say to you today that you are able to come and drink from the river of life free of charge. Even as you've heard the gospel preached to you today. Even as you hear that these words are life. The word of God is life. It is freedom. It is might. It is deliverance to all who need it. The Bible says that we should not be ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God for salvation to first the Jew and then the Gentile. It is the power of God unto salvation for the nations. And I thank you, Lord, that right now that there are people that are hearing this broadcast in nations, God, that all of a sudden this has become more than a coincidence to them. I hear the Lord saying that all of a sudden you're no longer looking at this as a coincidence, but you're saying there is a God, there is a holy, righteous judge that I'm going to have to give an account to. And I repent. I turn and believe. I believe that your eyes are being opened even as you're hearing this, that your eyes are being opened and you're realizing that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And that there is new life in him, that there is the water of life, there is a clear crystal river that comes from him as the living water that you can drink and be purged of all your filth, be purged of all your guilt, be purged of all your rejection, be purged of all the sin that you've ever committed. And that he will give you his righteousness in exchange for your unrighteousness. He pours in his river, clear as crystal. And as it pours into you, brother, as it pours into you, my sister, it will displace all the filth. It will displace all the grime and all the shame and all the pain and all the dirty water, if you will, that your vessel has been filled with for years and years and years. And if there's any bugs, as we like to relate this to, if there's any bugs, any demonic things, any demonic forces that are in your stream, that are in that filthy water, as the water of life flows into you, the bugs got to be cast out. Those things that are living in the murkiness depths of the swamps, of the things that are currently filling your vessel, as the river of life comes forth. In the name of Jesus, those things are being pushed out. Those things are being displaced. I say, go in the name of Jesus, you unclean spirits. Go, filthiness, in the name of Jesus. Go, lasciviousness, in the name of Jesus. Go, pride. Go, rejection. Go, lust. Go, sorcery and witchcraft and idolatry, in the mighty name of Jesus. Go, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is life, there is liberty, there is victory. And so, Father, I thank you so much for this gem, this wisdom nugget from the Word of that river of God, of the river of life. It was never meant to stay as a teaching from the book of Genesis. It was never meant to stay in the Old Testament as Ezekiel the prophet. It was revealed to him. But we find it even in the book of Revelation. And we find it throughout the New Testament because Jesus, you are the living water. And so, Father, I thank you for your people today. I thank you for all those who have tuned in, for those who in other nations who are listening to this broadcast. It's not too late. It doesn't matter what religion you've been in. It doesn't matter what idolatry you've been in. It doesn't matter if you believe you're your own God or you worship the devil himself. It does not matter because the river of life is free of charge. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And so, Father, I thank you. I want to invite you right now to just pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Lord, I repent. I hate the wickedness that I've been a part of. I hate the things that I've done. I feel like sometimes I can't even forgive myself. Lord, take away this pain. Take away this guilt. Take away this shame. Oh, and cleanse me. Cleanse me of all my stains. Cleanse me with your precious blood. Cleanse me with your river of life that flows from your throne, for you are the living water. Lord, I repent and believe. Jesus, I acknowledge you as my Lord and Savior. I am saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Friends, we know what the scripture teaches us, that we are indeed saved by grace through faith in Christ. It's a free gift. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. None of us can work for it. But we repent and believe and we receive the water of life free of charge. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you, friends. May he keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. May he give you his peace. Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Gems for the Journey. And if you're interested in connecting with us, please find us at www.riveroftheaven.org. Also, if you'd like to contribute and give and sow into the river of God flowing out of heaven to the nations through this conduit, there's a donate place on our website, and you can go there, and you can follow the prompts, and we'd really appreciate it. You can either become a monthly partner with us, or you can give a one-time gift. Every little bit matters, and every little bit causes us to be able to continue to preach the gospel to all the world. Amen. And so one other way you can support us by purchasing my first book called Holy Spirit, The Sevenfold Spirit of God. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple iBooks, and anywhere really that books are sold. And if your bookstore that you're close to is not carrying it, you can request them. You can ask them if they wouldn't mind ordering you a copy or maybe even ordering some copies to hold in the store. Amen. We have a heart to teach the world about Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, the one who lives within all of us, the one who has the ministry of Christ upon the earth now that Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen. And so we yield to Holy Spirit. We thank Holy Spirit for his influence and for his witness and for his leading and guiding and so much more in our lives. Amen. And all those things can be found in that book, along with an application section to really begin to pray into and learn how to pray, to confess, to declare, to decree the Word of God, to begin to walk in the power of the Spirit, the power of the sevenfold Spirit of God. Amen. Again, thanks so much for listening. Thanks for tuning in. We love you. God bless you. And we'll see you next time for another new and exciting Gem for the Journey. Take care. Bye-bye now. Sing holy, holy is the Lord. We sing holy, holy is the Lord. We sing holy.
produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Greetings, precious saints. This is Perlene again from God's Precious Pearls Ministry. Blessings and greetings to everyone. Oh, what a time in the midst of this global crisis and everything that's going on around us. It is time, my beloved friends, for us to remain stayed in the Lord. He promises to keep us in perfect peace as long as we keep our minds on Him. Let us purpose in our hearts in this time to remain stayed in the safety and presence of the Lord. Here we will experience the peace that He offers us in the midst of storms around us. And don't we need it now? We surely do. I cannot say thanks enough to our beloved Kayla Padgett from Finding My Way Radio Network USA World, who is working diligently to get God's word out at this time. We're truly seeing an Esther who has been called for such a time as this. Thanks also to Josie from Josie Inspirational Radio Network USA World and Ewing Moving and Storage for sponsoring this program. Thank you so much. May the Lord continue to bless you as you labor in his vineyard in these crucial days, allowing others and myself to be a part of this great end time mission. Thank you so much and blessings again to you. Let us pause to pray for a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do praise you and exalt you at this time. We magnify you. You're Lord of all. There's no one like you. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your eternal love. We thank you, Lord, for loving us so much that you sent your only begotten Son to suffer and die for us. What love. Such perfect love. We magnify you and glorify you now, Lord God. And Father, my Lord, I release myself to you that you will speak through me. Father, I ask, Lord, that you touch already listeners today, Father God, that as I share from your heart, Father God, they will be touched and our lives will be changed to your glory and honor. Father, I release myself to you. Please speak through me. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray with thanksgiving. Thank you, Father. We will continue to talk about the fruits of the Spirit as we learn how to be like Jesus. Last time we talked about the growth process of the fruit bearing tree, from planting to harvesting, and what promotes or hinders seed germination to fruit bearing. To recap, just briefly, we need good soil by the preparation of our hearts with God's word to receive the incorruptible seed and to allow the process of germination to harvest to take place. To be like Jesus, we must strive to bear the fruits of his character. That's how we demonstrate his love, and that's how we grow in him. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Under such there is no law. There are no rules and regulations, only to be governed by the Spirit of the Lord." Today and the weeks following, we will begin to talk about each fruit in detail. The first fruit is love. Time will not really allow us to go into much depth, but with whatever little time we have, we will just focus on some important points to help us understand more about the fruit of love. We know there are three types of love. Firstly, we have agape love, which is unconditional love, which we receive from God. And God is the only one who can truly demonstrate agape love. Filial love, which is conditional love. And usually the person loves because of, there's got to be a condition associated with that, a reason for loving the person. Eros love, which is romantic or sensual, which is governed by the five senses. John 15:12-13 tells us, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his one's life for his friend, just as Jesus did for us." Here, love is perfected. God loves us so much that his agape love allowed him to give up his only begotten Son to redeem us from sin. John 3:16 tells us that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus loves us so much that he was willing and obedient to give up all the comforts, the joys, the adorations of heaven to come down to earth to die for us, that we can be redeemed from all the ills of this world, what this world has to offer. When God's love is in us, we see others, whether good or bad, through his eyes, not our eyes, not our carnal eyes, but through God's eyes. When we have God's love in our hearts, it spills over in every area of our lives. It governs our lives. It governs our thoughts even. Everything about us, it governs. We'll just look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 to 9. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 9. This is the love chapter here. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Yeah, that's as far as we'll go. Thank you. Up to verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. You see, here's telling us, no matter how gifted we are, but we have not love, it profits us nothing. And let's just look at verses 4 to 8. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. And we just look closely at this. Here we see that agape love governs and controls the fruits of the Spirit. It is foundational for the other fruits to operate. Love is patient, verse 4. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 tells us, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering, patient. He's very patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord promised that he would not return until the gospel is preached throughout the entire world, so that everyone will have an opportunity to hear the gospel and be saved. Patient love is needed in every area of our lives. We've got to be patient with each other. This passage of scripture is mostly read in marriage ceremonies. Much patient love is needed for a marriage or any relationship to be successful. We just don't see each other through our eyes, but through God's eyes, understanding and caring for each other. To be patient often means denying oneself, personal agendas, etc., and thinking about the other person. This means dying to self. This, in turn, creates a peaceful atmosphere. Peace is another fruit of the Spirit. 1 Peter 4:8 says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. I like the Amplified Version. It says, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. Love is kind. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgives you. You see, we must learn to forgive that we too may be forgiven. The act of kindness is less common in our society today, unfortunately, even as we see the darkness increasing, and it is indeed increasing when we see what's going on around us today. So much hatred, so much bitterness, you know, even in the midst of a crisis. In times, people were more kind and benevolent. Everyone is looking up for themselves today, not thinking about the next person. Sometimes we don't even know our neighbors. Not much love is expressed today, unfortunately. Today, we see an increase in hatred instead of love, instead of caring for each other. We must be salt and light and continue to produce this fruit in our society. Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. A good example of kind love is that of the Samaritan man in Luke 10:30-37, who took time to care for a man who was beaten up and left to die. He took this man up, as we know from the scriptures, he placed him in an inn and paid for him to be cared for. What love, what perfect love. Love is not envious. The God kind of love rejoices with others' success. We should not be envious of each other. And unfortunately, we see so much of that, especially within the body of Christ. And my brothers and sisters, it's time for us to stop, to check, and ask ourselves, are we walking in the love of God? Does this glorify the Lord? Galatians 5:26 says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Philippians 2:3-4 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambitions or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Always thinking about someone before you think about yourself. I speak especially to all of us in the household of faith. God gives gift as he sees fit to equip the body, for the body to function effectively. No one person usually carries all gift, is bestowed. I mean, all the gifts are bestowed on this one person. But we all have some of the gifts. Let us not grieve the heart of God by being envious of each other, but lovingly support each other in our gifts to the glory of God. And therefore, make perfect the body of Christ. As I said before, glorify the Lord. This is so common within the body of Christ, and it grieves the heart of God. It can also be very destructive. We are supposed to build up the body of Christ, not destroy it. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. Love is not boastful nor proud. Love is not arrogant. 2 Corinthians 10:17-18 says, but he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. You see, the Lord sees us, he bestows his gifts upon us, and he equips us. And whatever we do in the name of the Lord, let us never cease to give him the glory, because it's not us. You see, he's the one who's gifted us to do it. He's bestowed his gifts upon us. And as we love and fear the Lord, we will give all glory and honor to him. And we will not consider ourselves better than anyone else, but consider ourselves blessed and being a servant of the Lord to do what he's called us to do. 1 Peter 5:6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. To be rude is to demonstrate a toxic behavior and immaturity. This is the opposite of walking in love. We should always strive to be gracious and mannerly. To be rude is to be haughty, selfish, and prideful, also being puffed up and thinking more about ourselves. It means we are carrying a lot of pain and basically redirecting our hurts to others. There is a time for righteous indignation, which usually ministers instead of hurting and turning others away. Jesus loves us so much that even under much pressure in the Garden of Gethsemane, as his perspiration was like blood, he prayed that this bitter cup would pass from him. He knew the outcome, and that was to lay down his life for his friends. He prayed. He prayed in Matthew 26:39. He said, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You know, he could call down myriad of angels to deliver him. You know, he was God. But yet he humbled himself to the form of a man in order to redeem us. Oh, what love and such gift. We give thanks to the Lord for that. Even as Jesus did, we must deny ourselves to follow him and be like him. Luke 9:23 says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Note, daily. Daily we'll have to do this. Not just once in a while, but daily we have to deny ourselves. This is perfect love. We're to keep ourselves saturated in prayer and through prayer under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The spirit of anger, arrogance, selfishness, and rudeness will not be our portion. As we pray in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit who searches our hearts and sees whatever is in us that's not of God, he will help us. He will deliver us. He will show us that we can repent of whatever it is in us that's preventing us from walking in love. When we walk in love, we exude the fragrance of the Lord and the presence of the Lord. We truly represent him. So let's strive to walk in love. Psalm 119, 165 says, "Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Nothing shall offend them." You see, you can tell a person who walks in love. There's a calmness and there's a peace about them. They're exuding the love and, as I said, the fragrance of the Lord. Operating love will cause us to look at the individual through God's eyes. Compassion will come upon us for them as we pour the oil of love upon them. Most times to our hurt. Yes, to our hurt. Because we know where the battle lies and we know the outcome. It is not us working, but the Holy Spirit working through us. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ, only through Christ that we can do that. He strengthened us to do it. It's not in our own might that we're able to do that. Love thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. No matter how bad the situation may seem to be, or how much we may have been wronged, we do not wish evil on someone else. Love governs that. Love controls that. We sometimes see ourselves being vindicated, but this too should only cause us to humble ourselves before Almighty God. We should not keep a record of wrongs. This means forgiveness did not take place. Unforgiveness causes us not to walk in love. We rejoice in the truth that God will vindicate us, and that is our hope and victory. Hebrews 12:14-15 says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, causing trouble, and by this many become defiled." We don't want to be defiled. We want to be filled with the love of God. We want to be saturated with the love of God. Romans 12:18 says, "If it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give no place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.'" Here we must have faith. We just have to have faith by letting go and let God. He will do a much better job in vindicating us. Many of us are still waiting for in vindication, and God will vindicate us. Amen. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The love of God in us will never give up on people. Jesus did not give up on his disciples, no matter how many times they failed him. Peter denied him 3 times. And he reversed this by asking Peter 3 times if he loved him. This enabled healing to take place and preparation for the foundation of the church. Remember, Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church." If you love someone, you will be loyal to him or her, no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him. You will always expect the best of him and always stand your ground in defending him. Aids to walking in love. Decide to walk in love. This is a decision, not a feeling. Remain always in prayer and in the word, that our hearts can remain tender and Christ-like, praying always in the Spirit. Jude 20:21 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit who knows exactly how and what we ought to pray for." Allow peace to govern our hearts. Do not be judgmental, but be compassionate, kind, and merciful. Be willing to forgive. If not, we too will not be forgiven. If we see ourselves at fault, be humble enough to ask for forgiveness. Clear the air of bitterness that love may flow. When we operate in agape love, philo and eros love will be in order. Agape love will control and govern Eros love as well. It controls everything. It dictates to us God's love, agape love, which is so pure, which is so holy. It's not sensual. It's not conditional. Will govern philo and eros love. It makes philo and eros love beautiful. So let us strive to be Christ-like. Only through his word and through prayer will we be able to operate in the love of God, because the word of God will guide us, will instruct us, will show us how to walk in love. you know, as the word of God becomes a part of us and we're not only hearers, but doers of the word, we will truly be able to walk in the love of God. You know, no matter how offended we may be, someone may hurt us, or what have you, through God's love, we will forgive. And as I said before, we surrender. God will help us. He will allow us to forgive. He will allow us to walk in His love, pure, unadulterated, agape love. We can never demonstrate agape love without the help of the Holy Spirit. So my brothers and my sisters, let's strive to be like Christ. Let us strive with the help of the Holy Spirit to love. And as we do that, we bring glory and honor to the love of God, and we will walk in peace. We will walk in peace, and this world will be a better place as we all choose to walk in love. I pray you were blessed and inspired by these thoughts. And as again, let us strive, especially in these days that we're living in, when there's so much hatred around, let us pray that the love of God will be shed abroad in our hearts, that we will love our neighbors, that we will love everyone, that we'll appreciate everyone and share the love of God to those who do not know Him. May the Lord continue to bless, keep, and guide you until we meet again. With love, I say goodbye. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.